Welcome everybody to Sports Odds and Ends, your show for the fly-by-night sports fan. I am Jay Veazey. I am joined by my good friend and co-host King Kaz. How are you doing, Kaz?
What is up? I'm ready.
Ready to make some predictions?
I'm ready to talk about things that I don't know enough about.
Well, that's the same as most people that make predictions and hot takes on Twitter. So we're just bringing it to you in podcast form. So this is a nice special episode that we're going to do at the beginning of the season. We're going to evaluate. We're going to do what most people that make hot takes don't do and evaluate their own hot takes at the end of the year to see whether these predictions come true. So I guess let's start off with our first one. Kind of an easy one now that there's only four teams left, but who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl for the 2020 Super Bowl?
So NFL, I gotta say, I'm feeling the Chiefs. I know in our last episode, I made the joke, but then I talked about how good the Titans defense is. And while I do think they may be able to give that style of play a run for its money, I still think Patrick Mahomes comes out the winner there. And then between the Packers and 49ers, I don't really see either one of them, if they have to go up against the Chiefs, being able to hold off Mahomes and his army.
You have no confidence in the 49ers defense?
That's not what I said. I'm just saying I think there is a team who is better. I'm not saying that they don't have a good defense. But I'm just saying the Chiefs are better.
Them fighting words, because I got to back the 49ers. Because they are my team, but also I do feel like that defense and in the playoffs, like, defenses can really disrupt offenses.
JVZ, nobody is judging you for rooting for your team.
Yes.
Be a fan, JVZ. Be a fan.
All right. So, well, the thing is, like, all year long, it's been like, are the 49ers for real? Are they for real? They racked off like 10, 12. They were the last undefeated team. And even I almost felt like they were more for real after they got their first loss than they were during their entire undefeated run. So it was just kind of like defying expectations all year. And so, like, I feel like I absorbed some of that too, because it's like, I'm still not sure about this team. Like, they were so bad last year. Like, what happened? And I mean, but like, there's legitimate reasons why they were bad last year. They got a lot of injuries. Their quarterback got injured. I mean, going from the second worst team in the league to now one of the best, I'm predicting that they will be the best team in the league when they win the Super Bowl this year. DJM, what is your pick?
My pick is, in the Super Bowl, it will be the Green Bay Packers and the Tennessee Titans. I believe that the Tennessee Titans are the magical Cinderella story. I believe that it's a amazing Cinderella story that Roger Goodell is booking here with Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans. The quarterback that was left for dead after leaving Miami and being behind Marcus Mariota until he had to drag somehow the Tennessee Titans to a pretty good playoff run. And all they've had to do to get to this far is beat the Ravens and beat the Patriots. And now, could they topple the Kansas City Chiefs? I say yes. I think Mike Vrabel might be a genius. He might be the diamond in the Bill Belichick disciples of mediocrity and failure. He might be the one. And over in the NFC, I've got the Green Bay Packers coming out. Sorry, JVZ. I do believe that both defenses are pretty strong, and I would probably give the advantage to San Francisco, but I do think Aaron Rodgers has one or two MVP performance levels left in him, even if he's now at the age of 36, and I think we're going to see it when he takes on the Niners. So in the Super Bowl, I will say that it will be Aaron Rodgers. He will get his second ring, and it will be the Packers over the Tennessee Titans.
Word on the street from the mailman is they delivered that package of TB12 to Aaron Rodgers' house.
He does wear number 12.
Do you guys know where the Super Bowl is this year?
It is in Miami.
Yep, where Ryan Tannehill could make his triumphant, just to cap off this whole Cinderella story, he returns to the city that shunned him. And
but what if Miami is his kryptonite? What if it's like him being could be Miami
it
is what
it very well him. Could be. That's my prediction. I'm taking the Packers.
Oh, sorry, you're taking the Packers over the Titans?
Yes, right. I'm taking the Packers over the Titans.
Okay, I circled the wrong thing. All right. I'm glad we all came up with a different choice out of four. There's no consensus left. That's what happens when the Ravens lose and Lamar Jackson goes down. We lose our guy.
I would have still picked Kansas City. I'm just putting that out there. Even if the Ravens lose, I would have still picked fucking Patrick Mahomes.
I would have picked the Patriots because it's the Patriots.
That's fair. That's always a decent bet. All right. Now going a little bit further out, this one's not quite so easy. The NBA, who's going to win the NBA championship?
I guess I'll start again. I gotta say, coming out of the Eastern Conference, the Heat and the Bucks look really, really good. If you also listened to the last episode, you found out that I like Giannis a lot. I think he is an astounding player in this NBA format right now. I think, as JVZ also alluded, he just adds more and more to his arsenal game after game. The kid just is. He just is a monster, and I love him. He is the Greek god. So, from the Eastern Conference, I definitely think the Bucks are going to end up there. I unfortunately, looking at the Western Conference, I think it's as many challengers as there is. As much as I kind of like this LA Clippers team, I think at the end of the day, LeBron will be LeBron, and he will drag his team. Kicking and screaming to the big dance, but I really, really think this Bucks team is just having a run, and I think they are going to end up winning everything, and then fall apart next year.
Oh, okay. Honestly, I didn't expect consensus on this, but I agree because. I mean, I just saw this team in person, and they're nasty. It's not just Giannis who on his own. I don't think there's a player in the NBA that can guard him. Maybe Kawhi Leonard. But then you throw in all the other guys they have. They added Robin Lopez this season, so they've got, you know, that twin magic going with him and Brooke Lopez and. So it's like, so they're taken care of inside, on the wing, and at point guard, they're doing pretty well, with Eric Bledsoe. They have a lot of, it's like, you could ask who is the second best player on this team. And I don't know if you can have a definitive answer, and it's not because those guys are all mediocre either. Like, they are all, players that are, maybe not good enough to be a second superstar, but at least be a strong supporting cast member on a team. So, and on top of that, they're well coached, and I think they are a little bit sour from last year's playoff loss. So I think because they were the number one seed last year as well. So I think they're going to come back angry this year, and I think they're eventually going to win it all. Yeah, I had to talk myself into not wanting to, not picking the Lakers or the Clippers. Like, I was really impressed by the way the Clippers play the Lakers. So I think in a matchup between those two teams, I think the Clippers would win out. But I just feel like the Bucks are just a very complete team. So And also, I just don't want to pick the Lakers. If I get to be a homer when I pick the 49ers without penalty, then I'm going to be a hater for the Lakers and not pick them without penalty.
That's fair. Gentlemen, it's consensus all the way. I believe that 2020 will be the crowning achievement of awesome for Giannis Antetokounmpo. I believe, not unlike Hulk Hogan slamming Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3, I believe this will be the year that Giannis takes the mantle from LeBron James, and it will be in the NBA Finals with the Bucks going over the Lakers coming out of the Eastern Conference. And I agree with Kaz that the team they beat will be the Miami Heat, who are a huge surprise. And can we finally say that Eric Spoelstra is actually a great coach, everybody? Can we finally say that now? Can we finally kill the narrative of the Eastern Conference being weak too? Is that dead? I'm pretty sure that's dead too.
Yes. Because last year's like, you guys know how fucking pissed off I've been with the Kings this year. And yeah. they're like 3 games out of the 8th seed. Nobody wants that spot. And it at least seems like I would definitely agree that like everything's a bit more balanced this year. I don't know when it comes to superstar talent if that is quite the same, but you could also make the argument that just Giannis on his own carries so much weight that I feel like the West has flattened out to the point where there isn't one clear-cut monster team anymore that is way better than everybody else. I think it'll change again next year when all those injured Warriors come back. But for now, for this year, it's anybody's game in the West. And everybody, so many players have moved around that everybody's still trying to figure things out. So maybe in a couple of months, I'll feel like the West has solidified itself a little bit more. But right now, I think it is pretty even between the two conferences.
I think it's pretty even, too. And I think that the narrative of the Eastern Conference being weak has been overplayed a little bit. And I think that the general consensus within the Eastern Conference is that it is Milwaukee's to lose. But I think that there are certain teams that are not as far off as people might think. I think that the gap between Milwaukee and Miami or Philadelphia may not be as far off as people think it is. And I would like to see, I would not be surprised if in the East those series do go 6 games and 7 games. So I think it'll be something to look forward to. But yeah, I see the Milwaukee Bucks coming out of the East and the Lakers coming out of the West. And I see the Bucks going 7 to beat the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And nice. it will be officially Giannis's world after that.
Right. And then he's still got 1 year on his contract after that, right? This is not a contract year. Yeah. Okay.
No.
Otherwise we'd be talking about it a lot more, or at least the rest of the media would be talking about it a lot more. So for most outstanding male sports person, would you guys be voting for Giannis?
Yeah, I can't really think of anybody else. I think this is a guy who with everything else going on, right? Like the dominance that is Stephen Curry, the LeBron and his business acumen and all that. I think he is a guy who has made his sport popular again. You know what I mean? Like With all these other guys, it's all the other stuff now. Like they've done their things. I've never really thought LeBron has made the sport exciting, but I think Giannis has elevated the sport of basketball to being something that people care about, people talk about, and kind of all the other things that are going on around it. So I. When you say sports person, I think that's one of the things you have to do. You have to elevate your sport and not just your star, so to speak. Like it has to be things that elevate the sport that you are in, that makes you the most valuable sports person.
This is an Olympic year, so this is kind of a year where people in sports that we might like not think about during during the 4-year gap get a chance. Like, you know, like say if Michael Phelps was still swimming this year, then like he would be a person that you could throw in into the list, and or somebody like Usain Bolt. So despite all that, you would still pick an NBA player. Is that, I'm giving you a chance to revise.
I think if you asked me this to like during the World Soccer Cup and during kind of the time after, I'd probably pick Kylian Mbappe or Paul Pogba, because that is that era where those two players, kind of more Mbappe, elevated soccer, especially French soccer. But if we're talking about this year and then what it has been this year, I want to give it to Giannis.
All right. DJM, what do you think?
You brought up some great points, and then I go back to my old school pick for global athletes and go back to Roger Federer. But for 2020, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that my 2020 outstanding male athlete was the guy that I think might have been 2019's outstanding male athlete. And I see a sport that is on the precipice of change, either in one direction or another. Either it will kind of tightly hold on to its past, or it will evolve. And I think it's centering around one guy, one person that the entire league and the entire sport at multiple levels of competition are really kind of converging around one guy. And I think in 2020, that guy is Lamar Jackson. There is so much around narratives and stories and smaller stories and bigger stories around Lamar Jackson, not just as a football player, but as a businessman and how he carried himself coming out of the draft. He didn't hire an agent. Where might that go if he continues to play and they want to extend his contract? Will he get an agent then? Will he not? Will his mom and his family negotiate for him? His style, you know, of play.
A hot at the second, quarterback. When you started describing things, I almost thought you were going to say Sonic Fox.
I do have a competitive gamer in my list, Kaz. I do have one, but I'll get to that later. But back to Lamar Jackson again for a second. If in his third season coming up in 2020 and going forward, if his game kind of evolves the way that it looks like it could evolve, he keeps his athleticism and he's still able to evade defenders and get out of the pocket, and his throwing evolves and he becomes a more accurate and becomes a better passer. In many ways, Kaz, the way you talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo, I kind of see a potential similarity with Lamar Jackson when it comes to football. Yeah. I think that if what he does on the football field holds and grows and evolves, it will be a fundamental change on how everyone sees playing offense and sees the quarterback position and how it can be played. So I feel like, and there's so much swirling around Lamar Jackson for so many different reasons, I believe he's going to be the person of the year in 2020.
I think very much like Michael Vick had an era of a few years where like you couldn't help but talk about him, and he almost became kind of a namestay in football, and like kind of even in kind of playground football, much like Kobe has, right? Like Kobe is people in your office will go to shoot a paper into a basket and yell Kobe, right? I think in a sense, Lamar has almost that
kind of air around him where he just kind of becomes a household name to football or doing those kind of things where like you just equate when you think about football, you'll think about Lamar Jackson, even though he's not the chosen one.
But I call him football Jesus at this point. So, I mean,
I like to say he's marvelous. The marvelous Lamar Jackson.
That's pretty good. You guys picked the two guys that I was thinking of. So, which is fine. And I'm having trouble deciding which. I think the fact that we're kind of predicting this as Giannis's, not necessarily his breakout season, but his solidification on the top season. I think that is a big deal, but also just the fact that Lamar Jackson is changing the game so much, that also is a big deal. And he's causing people to rethink how they think about football. And he's verifying some things that people hoped to eventually see in the game. I think I'm going to have to go with Giannis just because his might have a more international impact of being for a sport that is more internationally watched, and being a player of a non American of a non-American origin, being Greek. So he's got the Euro market watching him. He's got the American market watching him. And the entire world will know his name. Whereas Lamar Jackson, he could be the MVP for three straight years in the NFL, and some people worldwide might not know who he is. That makes me a bit of a globalist scum, but I feel like since these two are so evenly matched, I had to go globalist to find some differentiating factor. And I'm going to go with Giannis at this point. All right. What about female athletes for you guys?
It's so hard for me. I want to pick Aspen, who is a female Overwatch player, but I don't feel like she's had enough showing yet to really get that. But I think her becoming more of a household name in esports just bodes well, and the fact that like it's not what it has been before when certain female esports individuals get kind of praise, and it's within the realm of against other female esports players. Like, she is just kind of dominant at her game in general. So, you know what? I am going to pick her.
All right. Because I had it written down. As soon as you said it, it was very clear that you felt it. So I kind of just wrote it down, and then I was just going to do a slash thing for you. But I'm going to go with... Breonna Stewart, just because she's coming back from her injury and fresh off an entire season off. She's going to have something to prove. She is the former MVP, WNBA champion, and then her team now had to go a full year without her, and getting injured overseas before the season even started. I feel like she's going to come back feeling like she's got unfinished business. So we're going to get some pretty great Seattle Storm, Washington Mystics matchups. The Mystics got their win this year. But I feel like the Storm are going to come back feeling like they need to prove that they everybody healthy, they should be the ones on top. And Breonna Stewart, now that hopefully she's not going to be trying to play overseas again, I think she's going to come and have another breakout year, and further solidify herself at the top of the WNBA.
Hell yeah.
Okay, guys, for me, My thought for outstanding female athlete for 2020 is Clarissa Shields, the undisputed middleweight champion of the world. I believe that after having only one fight in 2019 and defending and winning a couple of vacant middleweight championships, Clarissa Shields is out for a big 2020. There seems to be a bit of a resurgence of interest in the world of boxing. And I think, especially in the case of women's boxing, I believe Clarissa Shields is marketable. She's a star. She's a champion, and she wins. And I think that's something you can market. I think that's something that can be on pay-per-views with the heavyweights in the men's division. I think that Clarissa Shields is primed to show that she is every bit the fighter you want in this day and age. And she's awesome and talented. And I think that if there's an upsurge in interest in boxing, which it looks like there might be, I think it's Clarissa Shields can ride that wave.
All right. I think we got good picks and some good variety in that one after agreeing with each other for the last couple ones. breakout star or breakout sports personality or just someone in sports, adjacent to sports, could be an athlete, could be just a person, a coach, you know, somebody who wasn't famous before, or maybe at least worldwide famous before, but now they become a household name. Who do you got? It's a tough one. There's a lot of people to pick from.
Yeah, this is
maybe rough, maybe I'll start because I think I've got one.
All right.
I'm going to go with, and maybe this is because I'm a little bitter. Maybe it's because I just watched him torch the Kings yesterday over the guy that they drafted instead of him. But I'm going to go with Luka Doncic.
Okay.
Because there is a little bit of talk that he's playing at an MVP level this year in just his second year. He didn't even make the All-Star team last year. But I mean, he was obviously a very good player. He's a special talent, as DJM says. It's, you know, potentially a generational talent in the NBA. I think I still agree that Giannis will be like the player that takes the mantle of like, this is his league now, but it might be the case where, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, Luka Doncic is in a position to take that. Or maybe even faster.
And I think he's in a position where he has like kind of one of the best people in Dirk Nowitzki to learn from.
Dirk is retired, but I think he's still around the team. I think I don't know if he's a coach, but
he ain't got nowhere else to go.
He's on the Tim Duncan plan, so he's coaching. Luka Doncic famously said earlier this year that the Mavs defense got significantly better because Dirk Nowitzki is no longer playing. So that is another aspect to it. I mean, the Mavs are going to be back in the playoffs this year. And so Doncic will have a chance to show his stuff on the big stage against the best players. Hashtag Euro Mavs. Him and Kristaps Porzingis.
Oh, God, don't bring it up.
Look, every time I watch Luka play, I feel pain. I'm impressed, but I also feel pain because it was just such... Like, how do you overthink yourself out of that choice? Like, if you draft Luka Doncic and he doesn't work out, nobody's going to blame you for drafting Luka Doncic because he seemed like the obvious choice at the time. But no, they had to overthink themselves and take Marvin Bagley instead, and who has been, you know, often injured and hasn't had a chance to develop that well. But also when he plays, I think he's got like 7 assists his entire season so far this year, and Luka Doncic has had more. He had like double that in the last game. Like, that it's, you know, and the reasons that the Kings cite for not taking him are kind of dumb, because it was like, oh, they don't want to take the ball out of De'Aaron Fox's hands. And it's like, both these guys are good players, they're good passers, they can figure out how to play with each other. But no, they got to overthink themselves. And, you know, he was at a position of need for them. They needed a small forward. And it just seemed so obvious. He was the prince that was promised. And they decided
so
to throw
JVZ,
that out.
Your breakout star of 2020 will be Luka Doncic.
It is. Yes. Sorry.
All right.
What do you guys think?
You got one, DGM? Because I'm still thinking. I think I know who I'm going to do, but I do.
And as I said earlier, I did pick someone from the world of competitive gaming. Because from 2019, the surprise story out of the world of fighting games was the rise of competitors from Pakistan. And there was one young man who came and took the Tekken World Tour by storm. And that will be in 2020, who still, by all accounts, is the number one ranked player in the world right now going into 2020, from Pakistan, Arslan Sadiq, a.k.a. Arslan Ash. I believe 2020, in the world of Tekken and just fighting game consciousness, it's his year to lose. I believe the fact that he... opened up an entire nation of hundreds of millions of people and opened up the idea that the world of fighting games goes beyond the United States and Japan and Korea and Europe, and now goes all the way to Pakistan, where now some of the best players in the world are showing up in Pakistan. You have players flying to Pakistan to play and train with others. And that all started with Arslan Ash winning at Tekken World Tour. And with the way things are looking, 2020 is going to be his year. Arslan Ash from Tekken.
So is he like the first one from Pakistan, period? Or like the first breakout one? Because
from Pakistan, period, but he is far and away the most successful. It was coming from a virtual unknown to being Evo top placing Tekken World Tour champion in a calendar year. It was absolutely out of nowhere and absolutely unprecedented. And now it's looking like more players are coming from Pakistan and are all playing at the same high level as Arslan Ash.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Kaz, were you able to pick one?
I'm going to go with one that I think even surprises me, but I keep hearing about him, and I think his star is just ever rising with all his antics and everything. And that's 49ers tight end George Kittle.
I like this choice.
Yeah, go ahead. He just kind of has this air around him, and he kind of has these antics that are fun, right? They're not detrimental. They're not terrible. Like his whole Panda Express thing, fucking Panda Monday.
He didn't do this week. And there was a reporter who live blogged the entire process of waiting for him to show up at Panda Express, and he chose to get DoorDash this week instead.
Yeah. But he just seems like such a good, fun loving dude that just like his, and he's a good player, right? He's like actually a really amazing fucking player. And then on top of that, he's just an amazing guy who just has fun.
I love it when tight ends get respect for blocking, which is something that George Kittle has always done very well. He was never as good as of a pass catcher, or he wasn't known for being a good pass catcher. That's something he developed in the NFL. But as a blocker, he's always been amazing, and so he still gets to do that a lot. And I think broadcasters are better about pointing that stuff out now, so you can see how multifaceted his game is, and he's not just a highly productive fantasy player. Now he's people can see him as just a very complete player and maybe one of the most complete players to ever play his position. So, yeah. And like you said, he's a fun, quirky guy. So, So that helps, just being on the 49ers helps being a, you know, contending for a championship is going to help.
Breaking records that he doesn't even know he broke.
Yeah. Yeah, just he's like, even as a 49ers fan, like I am surprised by his presence because I feel like I didn't know that much about him a couple years ago. And now he's just everywhere. So that's, you know, just being even like not paying that much attention to the team, but just being in the area and just seeing that rise. That's a really good pick, I think. But yeah, I think if that culminates in a Super Bowl win for the 49ers, then like that's just going to make his star grow even more. So originally I had this category as biggest scandal this year. and then earlier today, like all the Astros cheating stuff kind of blew up. So now I've rephrased this question to be, will there be a bigger scandal in 2020 than the Astros cheating scandal? And if so, what?
Guys, I will make mine real quick because I just wrote something from college football. That's what I wrote. It'll be something from college football. Likely not an SEC school. It'll probably be a school that nobody sees coming that will do something so unbelievably awful, and it'll be college football.
Okay.
I'm going to say if somehow, some way, either Steph Curry or LeBron just finally go for gusto and literally just like are actually colluding. Like they just get caught with a big board in a back room picking players between the two of them. like you can have Bill Sims. Oh, I get Luka. All right, you can have Dwight. Like, oh, and somebody just burst in and catches them. Like, that's the only thing that topples this.
Okay. So is it like no with an asterisk?
Yeah. No with an asterisk. I had to think about it. Yeah, no with an asterisk.
Okay.
Are you saying nobody wants Bill Sims?
that's not a real person.
Do you mean Ben Simmons, Kaz? Ben Simmons for the Sixers? Ben
Simmons, Bill Simmons, the sports personality. And
Ben, Bill, Billy Ben.
I guess I'm just going to go with no on this. I'm just so taken aback by how the story just continues to grow. I think to everybody's credit, all the leagues, I feel like we complain a lot about how people do things, and then like a couple months later we talk about how they fix them, but with a little bit less fanfare. And over time in sports, I feel like people, not fans, but the leagues themselves tend to get a little bit more sane. There's always like a coach or a player that'll do something crazy, but which I think is why DJM leaned into the something, somebody from college football is going to do something stupid. I don't see somebody in the NBA or the NFL or like any of these other top leagues doing something that stupid. Maybe let me back up. I see the Kings doing something stupid, but that's not going to have that much of an impact because nobody gives a shit. It's just going to be like the same as it always was. The Kings are going to continue to do dumb things. And the Lions are going to continue to do dumb things, and the Browns are going to continue to do dumb things. Like it's, and the Knicks. And so scandal wise, I don't foresee anything topping this cheating scandal. Like nothing is going to have the effect of getting three head coaches fired from three different teams, and a GM fired, and maybe some player punishments down the line, and then further investigations, further accusations that we're not even sure we've reached the end of yet. This is big. This is This is a big wait and see story. You know, it's already big and it's still a wait and see story. So I'm going to go ahead and say no, there won't be a bigger scandal.
All right, what's the next one?
What team is going to be the biggest disappointment of 2020?
Oh, man.
Now, I feel like in order to be a disappointment, you have to have some expectations. So maybe I shouldn't let you pick.
Oh, can I go then? Can I go then? Because I think mine already happened. Mine happened, and I wrote this before it even did happen. It was just not that long ago, but I had already written this down. Trevor Lawrence. Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence. I believe that the Clemson Tigers probably weren't going to win the national title. They didn't. Then I think that Trevor Lawrence is going to, coming into this season, for as good as he's been, I think this will be the year that he dips down a little bit and Clemson doesn't have quite the run to the college football playoff that they've had in the last couple of years. And it's going to make all of the NFL experts and analysis start having palpitations because, oh no, Trevor Lawrence might not be as good. So I think 2020, it'll be the year Trevor Lawrence slips and falls.
As what do you got? I will let you pick the Knicks if you really want to, but pick like no, the Browns of 2020. Like, who's coming in with hype and leaving deflated?
Ooh, can I pick the Capitals?
Yes,
I have no real reason why, but I feel like they're on this, like, they're going to be on that high of winning a championship, but everybody's going to be ready for them, and they're just not going to have the comeback year.
As usually, maybe it's not a hockey thing so much, but at least for like the NFL, the team that loses the Super Bowl always lays an egg the next year. And that happened to the Rams this year. I guess that didn't happen to the Patriots when they lost to the Eagles, but it's kind of like the loser's curse because there's no recovering from that. But in this case, you're going with the winner's curse. Mm-hmm. Like they won and then they're going to be too full of themselves. They're not going to take it as seriously now and they're going to fall apart. Yep. Or are they going to fall apart or are they just not going to, you know, they might get eliminated.
I want full on. They're going to fall apart. I think that's the only true way they're a disappointment. I think if they still do good and make it somewhat deep and then don't make it past the team, you can still have that kind of good feeling. Oh, you know, they still went on a run. They had a good season. They just, you know, came across this team who was doing better. I think for it to be a full on disappointment, they have to fall apart. They have to legitimately fall apart.
Okay. That kind of makes me rethink my pick a little bit. Because I wanted to go with the Houston Rockets. And I don't know if they're going to fall apart as much as they're going to not meet. Actually, you know what? No, let me rephrase. The Brooklyn Nets are going to be the disappointment because they're going to come into the year. They've already got issues with Kyrie Irving. They're going to add Kevin Durant to that mix, who is spending his time off arguing with Kendrick Perkins on Twitter and basically anybody else who he feels like arguing with on Twitter now. He's doing it without the burner accounts now. It's just add him to that mix. And I think the Brooklyn Nets are, I feel like they had a good thing going with D'Angelo Russell and they kind of traded it for the flash of having Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, even though that wasn't necessarily something they engineered, it was just more something that those guys engineered. But I just feel like this is going to backfire on them. Personality matters, temperament matters, Kevin Durant, even though he's an NBA champion, a very talented player, I think I think he's going to struggle a little bit more coming off an injury and having not the same talented cast around him that he did with the Warriors. So, yeah, I'm going with the Brooklyn Nets. Who do you think is getting fired? Maybe I shouldn't limit
Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia.
Is the GM going with him?
I would hope so. God.
I feel like there are two very, very big hot seats. I feel like of the coaches we named very recently, the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, and new head coach of the Cleveland Browns, those are two definite hot seats, especially for the Cleveland Browns, because they already hired and fired a coach within 1 year's time. If you ain't on the turnaround train that they're on, if you don't do better than 6-10, you might as well leave your bags packed because you ain't staying.
Okay, so I think you're solidifying on the Browns here.
Yeah, I'm solidifying on the Browns. I think for McCarthy to legitimately get fired, he'd have to go to 0-16. 0-16 would be
okay with that team. I don't. Maybe I'll make a prediction and say that's not going to happen. Yeah, but
all right, we've seen some shit out here.
Okay, that's fair. I think I'm gonna go. I think I'm gonna go with Luke Walton. There's just a really bad vibe around this team, and I know I'm kind of making a lot of my picks about the Kings. I don't think he's gonna get fired in the off season, but I feel like, you know, going into November and December, the Kings are going to realize after those games that Luke Walton might not be the coach to take this team into the future, and they'll want to cut bait sooner rather than later. They do go through a lot of head coaches very quickly, and it's disappointing to see them do it again. But I just don't see this getting better.
I think 2020 could be the year we finally see the comeback of the player coach, and they just hire LeBron as a coach.
the thing is, it seems like LeBron has been very happy with Frank Vogel. Otherwise, I think they would have tried it. I think Jason Kidd is the lead assistant, so I think they would also try him too. But I think they've been fairly happy with how that has worked out. But yes, Eric Spoelstra is still the best coach that has ever coached LeBron. Frank Vogel might actually be the second best at this point. So that's think that's the level of satisfaction that he's working with right now, which is much better than the ones that he's, you know, the Mike Browns, the Tyronn Lues of the world. So, my pick is Luke Walton. All right, name somebody who's going to retire. The bolder, the better. But it's, or you can make multiple picks, like a safe one and a not so safe one.
Drew Brees.
Ooh, is
you think Drew's done? Huh?
Yeah.
All right, Kaz. My pick to retire. I will say I thought of you with this one, and it's Eli Manning. I believe this is the year. Mm-hmm. Elisha retires and hangs it up.
Yeah, so I that was initially my pick when I read through the prompts, but then I looked at it and I looked at his pedigree, and then I remembered who his brother was, and they just sometimes don't know when enough is enough. And I feel like he'd look for kind of a redemption arc if it was offered to him on the right team.
Well, see, that's the thing, Kaz. I don't think anybody's going to offer it to him.
I don't think anybody should, but I definitely think somebody will.
You don't think he would be content with a backup role, right?
No. I think right now he's saving face and he's playing pretty. You know what I mean? Like, he's trying to just make it all look good, but I think when the time comes, when he can start looking at his options more thoroughly, he's definitely going to do that.
Do you think a team would take him on?
Yes.
Now, as far as free agent, okay.
They'll take anyone.
That's also a fair statement. but the free agent quarterback lineup so far, I think we've got Tom Brady, possibly. We've got Andy Dalton, I think, who famously, I guess, the Dalton line in the NFL is basically the line where, like, if you got a quarterback better than Andy Dalton, you keep him. If you got a quarterback worse than Andy Dalton, then go find yourself an Andy Dalton.
Maybe the Giants will get Andy Dalton.
All right, don't calm down.
I mean, with that receiving core, if you put in a competent quarterback like Andy Dalton, maybe you could light things up.
Maybe.
Or maybe they go out and get Jameis Winston. And he'll light things up for both teams. I've struggled to see Eli Manning landing on any team with those other options out there. Especially like if teams that need a quarterback usually are struggling pretty bad. The Broncos are kind of that exception where, like, it seems like that's the one piece they need in order to move forward. But usually that's not quite the case. And I mean,
just looking at their past, they'll take anyone.
They will. And they'll win Super Bowls with those guys. Or they'll at least make it. So I don't know. I'm also stalling because I'm struggling on who to pick. An obvious choice would be Vince Carter, but that's a little too cheap. I'm not going
to
pick.
He's about to retire. It was just.
Well, I think he's actually said he's going, so that would be cheating. I don't think Tom Brady's going to retire. I never think Frank Gore is going to retire. Those are guys that I think will just play until it becomes extremely obvious that they can't play anymore.
Let me throw one out to all of you guys.
Okay.
Albert Pujols. What do you think about him?
That is a good one because I haven't heard his name a lot, but other than like when I hear his name, it makes me ask, oh my God, Albert Pujols is still playing. He doesn't have quite the impact that he used to have as a player. But how many years does he have left on his contract?
Good question.
Because I feel like he would want to play out that contract because it is a massive contract, right?
He is. He, just like Miguel Cabrera, it looks like his contract is a 10-year that was signed in 2012, it looked like. So it'll be done in 2022. It's a 10-year, $210 million deal.
Okay.
Sorry, $254.
Yeah, so he's okay. If it ends in 2022, he's going to try to play until 2022. I'm trying to think because I wasn't really thinking about baseball. And I kind of want to pick like a football player that's just going to get injured. Just because I'm thinking of Luke Kuechly, who just kind of surprised everybody by retiring. And I feel like there's got to be, or maybe I'll just vaguely stay. Like a high profile football player before his time should be up. Maybe that's too broad, but I'm going to go with it.
It is. All right.
Okay.
Call, VZ. Let's go.
Oof.
Say what's on your mind. LeBron James is done.
No, I mean, that's another guy I think is going to play until he's like
he's going into his movie options. This is why he moved to LA.
This prediction, maybe this is a 5 or some year prediction. He's going to play until he plays against his son in an NBA game.
We already know that story, VZ. Give us a retirement. You're thinking too hard.
Derrick Rose finally blows Chris up
Paul.
That name.
Chris Paul. Chris Paul is going to retire.
Okay, there it is. Chris Paul. Lock it in. Write that down.
Oh, fuck. I should have picked Chris Paul for... All right, never mind. I mean, not Chris Paul. Fucking Derrick Rose. All right. Next prompt.
All right. Will the XFL last more than a season?
I give it 3.
Oh, okay.
I give it 2.
Pick one up right there. All right.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to say it'll last more than a season. I think it'll get legs. So, I'm going to go with 4 or more seasons. All right. This is one I just recently threw in, but just something crazy. Nobody's going to see this coming, but what is your hot take moonshot prediction?
My hot take. Moonshot prediction is that the Knicks organization finally see the error in their ways and they sell the team to Elon Musk. Elon Musk, and he finally, excuse me, I have to sneeze. He finally decides to do something and spends money and gets players onto that team. They get a good staff. And in 2024, they hire LeBron as their head coach. And then I have to actually like LeBron.
Wow, and you're going way.
That's the biggest fucking part of that. Is then I have to actually fucking give a fuck because he's the coach of the Knicks.
Okay, well, at the very least, we'll say Knicks sell the team. And then, bonus points if you get the rest of the stuff right. Wait, all right.
Hold on. Because the LeBron thing is a little too far out there, right? I'm going to say they hire Steve Nash as their head coach.
All right. So even though he's more into soccer now than he is into basketball.
They'll bring him back. Elon Musk will give him a robotic foot that he can play all the best soccer in the world with. And in that meantime, he'll be part of their front office some way, somehow.
DJM, you told me before the show that you had one locked and loaded.
I did. I'm going to say this is my 1% chance. Because I'm saying that I'm 99% certain this won't happen. But sometime in the year 2020, a pro athlete in one of the 4 major sports here in the U.S. will come out as gay. That's my prediction. That'll be my wild hot take prediction, at least with a 1% chance. I think it's 2020. We're in a much more progressive place with professional athletes, by and large, a lot of them. And I think one will come out as gay.
Okay, so somebody from the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, or what did I miss? The NFL. Like a high-profile player or just a player?
A player. A player, okay. From one of the 4 major sports.
So like the Michael Sam caliber, Jason Collins caliber, but still active as a player.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. My hot take is that Andrew Luck is going to join the XFL because he's had a year to rest up. He's going to get his body right. And then he's going to join his dad's football league to help grow it.
I could see that, though.
And
I don't know if that's that crazy.
And it's going to be he's going to like the fact that it's a slightly safer league. So he might feel more comfortable coming back after all these injuries. And even if he doesn't, even if he's not quite the player he used to be, he'll still be the best player in the XFL. But it'll be a big name, a big signing, and it'll help put the league on the map.
Secondary prediction, these are all things Charles Barkley would take prop bets on.
Okay. And all things that Shaq will somehow have invested in somewhere.
Hell yeah.
All right. Anything else crazy that you guys want to throw out there, or are we all predictioned out?
I think we're all predictioned out. We're just going to have a good year of sports odds and ends. We thank the people for joining us, especially for these kind of episodes where it's just more fun, lighthearted, and a little bit silly. And that's the biggest prediction. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here.